Well, thank you, Kiva, for inviting me. I will apologize in advance. I'm leaving my phone here. If my phone goes off and my wife's in labor, then I'm going to leave. But otherwise, I'm here. Otherwise, I'm here. Right. Okay. So Akiva told me that it's to out of the box Hasidic thoughts. Now, I don't usually do Hasidut, and I'm not quoting any Hasidish. So just the idea is right, Hasidish, and is inspired by different Hasidish writings and other things. But we'll take it with that. Okay. So Vayakel Pekudei culminates the Sefer Shemot and repeats the laws of the Mishkan. Obviously, we had the instruction to build the Mishkan in Trumat Tetzaveh. Then we had Kitisa with the unfortunate events in the middle, and then we have the story, the execution of the building in Vayakel Pekudei. And a few weeks ago, it hit me that I totally misunderstood something very fundamental about the Mishkan, and it's that misconception that I want to explore tonight. I always thought that among the other goals of the Mishkan, one of the goals of the Mishkan is to create a home for Hashem in this world, but simultaneously to educate the world about how we are different than the pagan religions that existed at the time of the time that Bnei Yisrael were living. They were building the Mishkan. Now, if you think about the pagan temples that existed, and all of they were different, different. When anyone is doing Dafyomi, we're getting a description of all the different Avodah Zarah that they had and what exactly they did, but all of them had one thing in common at the center of their temples, which was an idol, right? An image of their god, right? Whether it be Baal, or Asherah, or Marcolis, or Dagon, or whatever, whatever it might be, go through Tanakh, you'll get your list of different Avodah Zarahs. This is true in Greece, it's true in Rome, it doesn't matter, Jupiter, Zeus, Athena, take your pick. They all have an image at the center of their temple. Now, we obviously believe that God has no form. Hashem has no form, has no body, and cannot be encapsulated by an idol. And therefore, there is no idol in the center of the Mishkan. And Hashem tells us, right, this is, right, over and over Hashem tells us that this is one of the goals that He's trying to teach us. One of the things He's trying to teach us, the world, that there is, that a real God doesn't need an idol, can't be encapsulated in physical space, as we'll see in a little bit from Shlomo HaMelech. Right? That's Shlomo's description, or we'll even just jump to it for a moment. Right? I put this in all the way towards the end, in 15, but it's good to see it now. Shlomo HaMelech, when he builds the Beis HaMikdash, he says, at some level, the entire notion of a Beis HaMikdash and Mishkan is counterintuitive. It doesn't even make sense. It's paradoxical. Because it says, Ki ha'umnam yeshev Elohim ala aret, hinei ha'shamayim u'shmei ha'shamayim lo yichalkeluchah kem ha'bayis hazeh asher banisi. The heavens and the heavens of heavens couldn't contain you. And yet I'm going to build a house for you to live in. It doesn't make any sense. And God is transcendent. Hashem transcends space. So of course, you can't build a home for Him. So what then do we do? So first, just to establish the obvious, and God, Hashem tells us, the Psukim tell us, that even though we're building a Mishkan, over and over the Torah reminds us, but you should not have idols, have no images, right? Number one here, Losasa v'chafesel v'chol tmuna asher b'shamayim imal v'asher b'aretz mitachas v'asher b'mayim mitachas l'aretz. Don't make an idol or any picture which is in heaven above, nor on the earth below, or in the water which is below the earth. And in Dvarim, Perek Dalid, Moshe tells us that this was in fact the entire message of the Har Sinai experience of Matan Torah. He says, "Raki shomer lecha ushmor nafshecha meod pentishkachet advarim asher ra'u einecha." Be careful, guard your soul, make sure you don't forget that which your eyes saw. And then in a beautiful moment of irony, what did their eyes see? Nothing. Right, that's the point. Right? You didn't. It's not what you saw, it's what you didn't see. Right? Remember that you didn't see anything. Because maybe you'll forget. The day that you stood at Har Sinai, and God and Hashem said, "Gather everyone to me, and I'll teach you to fear me." And you got to the mountain, and it was burning, and there was clouds, and there was fire, and there was this whole pyrotechnic show. Right? Everything going on, but what don't you see? Vayidaber Adonai aleichem mitoch ha'esh kol dvarim atem shomim sumnayin chem ro'im zulasi kol. And all this, you saw a voice, right? You didn't see anything. You didn't really see an image. God has no image. Hashem has no image. V'yagin lechem es briso asher tziva aschem lasos aser zadvarim v'echtevem al shnei luchos avanim. Instead of seeing something, you heard something.
No, you saw the
voices. Well, you saw the voices, right? That's the irony, right? You don't see an image, no, right? You see the voice.
That was an amazing thing.
Correct. For sure, you see, and that's what Chazal, right, built up. And if you look in Targum Yonasan over there, he has this phenomenally long description of what it means, right? You saw the words come out and the fire, right? The fiery words come out and engrave into the luchos, but you don't see an image of Hashem, right? Even if you're seeing things, you're seeing things that aren't seen, you're hearing things that aren't heard, but you're seeing voices, but you can't see an image because there is no image. And Hashem told me to teach you the laws. But remember, you didn't see a picture. Because if you don't remember that, you might make an image. A male, a female, an animal, who knows what. So what do? We're going to build a Mishkan. We're going to build a Beis HaMikdash, a physical space. If Hashem wants not just to create a space for himself in this world, but he wants to make it clear that a space for Hashem is not the same as a space for an idol. So when you create a temple, what you do is you go out of your way to put something different where everyone else would have an idol. That's what we do. What do we put? Well, let's be careful. So we put two things. We put luchos, right? Because that's the, as Dvarim says, you didn't see an image of Hashem, but what you did see was the voices which translated into law, into the chukim, mishpatim, into the Torah, into the luchos. So we put the luchos to remind ourselves that our connection with Hashem isn't about an image, it's about a relationship, responsibilities, obligation, mitzvos, and the like. And then we do something even more striking, because we do have something in the Kodesh HaKadashim which is very image-like, and that is the Kruvim. So if you live in that time, you understand there's Kruvim. And what would you end up saying? Well, if you were a pagan, what would you say?
There's your God.
There's your God. But what does Hashem do? Where does Hashem speak from? Mibeina Kruvim. You put statues in the middle, and Hashem speaks from the void in between them. You go out of your way. The center of the Mishkan is the law, and the images that exist are around where Hashem is said to be, and Hashem speaks from the void. And that's what you get in three. The Aron, Vinasata El Ha'aron is Aidus, Asher Etein Elecha. At the center, you have the Aron with the laws, with the Luchos. V'asisa Chapar Zav Ta'or, Amasai Mechitzi Harkav, V'amav Achitzi Rachbav, V'asisa Shnaim Kruvim Zahav, Mikshat Ta'aseh Osam, Mishnei Kstoz HaKapores, V'asei Kruv Echad Mikatzam Yizeh, Kruv Echad Mikatzam Yizeh, Mine HaKapores Ta'aseh Osam, Kruvim Al Shnei Kstoz HaKapores, you put the Kruvim, V'ayu HaKruvim Porseich Nofayim Limala. But their wings are going up. So chen bechanfayem al kaporis ufneim yishel achiv al kaporis yupnei akruvim. They're facing each other. V'nasatis ha-kaporas al-aron mil-mala ve'al-aron titenes ha-idus ha-shen retene lecha v'no'adti lecha sham v'dibarti itcha me'ala kaporas mi-bein shnei akruvim ha-shel aron ha-idus. And I'll speak to you from the void in the middle. The Abarbanel in 4 highlights this. And he says, at first he has a question. He says, ha-sheila ha-beis, the second question I have, b'nyan akruvim should tziva yisbarach lasos ala kaporas. Why did Hashem want us to have kruvim? Are we violating the prohibition to not have idols? So the Abarbanel answers, he says, no. The kruvim they are images, but what are they doing? They're pointing up. To say they're not inherently important. They're not the idol. They're pointing in a direction. Their influence comes from God, from above. Their role is to direct Hashem's influence down towards the Aron. The Gamkin Hanivua, Misharis Ator Bishlamim, Var Mar Pnam Ishal Hidla Gitchem Lvad Haskalas Sam Limala, Balasam Yisbar Haskalasam Matam Vashishpiu Beneviim, and then he goes on to an entire description of this. So I always thought that what was the point of the Mishkan and the way we did it was to Mahotzi Miliban Shalov De Kochavim, to build a temple. Recognizing that Shemayim Ushmei Shemayim Lo Yechalkalucha, that God can't be contained, Hashem can't be contained in a physical space. At the middle, we say our relationship isn't about idols, it's about two things, obligation and a relationship with an invisible, transcendent God. So how do you highlight how we're different, where everyone else would have an idol? We have law, and we have what at first glance looks like idols, but we emphasize that Hashem doesn't speak from them, He speaks from the void in between, and as the Abarbanel says, the Kruvim themselves point up to remind us that what we're really worshipping is can't be seen, can't be perceived visually. He's there. So that's how I always understood it, right? That the Mishkan is about the anti-image, right, the anti-idolatrous thing to highlight how we're different. And then it hit me. Now, the conclusion is, I am right. We can all agree that it's mostly been Shavuot Zara. But the way that's true, I totally misunderstood. Because I thought, as I said, that the key to the Mishkan is to recognize there is no image. But that's not true at all. There is an image in the Mishkan. Or, I'll be more precise, the goal of the Mishkan is, we put out the very controversial statement, but then let's explore it, is in fact to make God, to make Hashem's presence rest in a tzelem. Now that sounds very idolatrous. Except, it's not the same tzelem that everyone else had it. Which tzelem is it?
Man, tzelem Adam.
Exactly. In Torah, there's only one tzelem who successfully is tzelem Elohim. It's not an idol. It's man. And that's number 5. Vasuli mikdash v'shachanti v'socham. As the famous, it's attributed to a midrash, but the earliest we have it is Rabbeinu Ephraim, but fine. Bisocha lo ne'amar ela bisocham. Not in it, but in them. But wait a second. That means the goal of the Mishkan isn't to show that God isn't in its tzelem. It's to say God is in its tzelem. But the tzelem isn't an idol. The tzelem is you. The tzelem is man. That's the point of the Mishkan. Asuli mikdash. Make a mikdash where in the middle there's no Tzelem. There's no tavnit. There's no tmuna. There's no picture. Because there's only one image. It's not true that there's zero images in the world that can capture Hashem. There's one. You. It's the human being. It's the Tzelem Elohim. It's the Tzelem Elohim. That's Vishachanti Visocham. Because idols say, Asuli Mikdash Vishachanti Visocha. And Hashem says, Asuli Mikdash Vishachanti Visocham. It is about Tzlamim. But not idols. It's about human beings. It's about Tzelem Elohim. It's about humanity reflecting Hashem. And then you realize something fascinating. When you look through the Mishkan, for all of our talk, the Torah's talk, about the lack of images and pictures, right? You don't see anything. There's no tavnit, there's no tselem, there's no tmuna. All those words, right? Those catchphrases. There's no body, there's no picture, there's no image, there's no nothing. All those words that aren't supposed to be in the Mishkan, all those things that Moshe said, they're not there. They are there. They are there. Right? You look, for example, 6. Urei, vasei bisav nisam asher atem mare bahar. He tells them, Hashem tells Moshe, make it bitavnisam asher, right, with that, right, tavnis, that illegal word, is there, but it gets much worse. Now, in 7, I just gave you the
picture of the cave.
One second. Look at 8. Right? 8. I gave you a list of psukim. Okay, this list is from Rav Yitzchak Kursky in his Sefer Amita Shel Torah. And he points out that if you actually look through the Mishkan, suddenly you realize that for a place where we talk about how Hashem has no body, we use a lot of body images. A lot of body words, right? It's even uncomfortable when you look through it, right? Daber al bnei Yisrael v'yichuli truma me'ez kol esher asher yidvenu libo tikuas trumasi. There are hearts in the Mishkan. Who are the hearts belonging to, though?
The people.
Right? Asher yidvenu libo. It's the people's hearts are what's in the Mishkan. There is a heart, but it's in the Mishkan. V'aros elim adamim v'aros tchashim. Sorry, I think I actually put the wrong pasuk there. No, look at the next one. Vatsu Aron Atse Shitim Amosayim Vachetzi Arkov Vama Vachetzi Rachbo Vama Vachetzi Komaso. Now, at first, you think there's no body imagery, but there is. The Ama, right? Which is the arm. Vayu Achrubim Barsechan Afayim Lamaso Chim Vichan Fayim Al Kapores Ufnehem Isha Achiv Al Kapores Yu Pnei Achrubim. There are faces. Vasisa lo arba tabos zahav and asada esa tabos arba hapeos asher laba raglav. Right, we go out of our way. Everything has feet, has corners. Peos, right, are corners of the head. Vasisa menorah zahav tor mikshat asam menorah yerecha. We call it its thigh. Right, it has yerecha kana giviyak after of racham imena yihu. Vasisa lo os tchelas al sfasa yerecha achas. It has a lip. Right? It has a head. Right? It has a shoulder. And then, and this is going to be the kicker, and we refer to it as the tzela. Right? And so Rav Tversky notes, you go through it, for a place where we don't want images and body imagery, for some reason, we throw a lot of body imagery around. Right? Everything becomes anthropomorphized. Right? Everything has heads and lips and feet and thighs and arms and fingers. And right? Everything is, it's almost as the psukim are asking you to think about images in a place where you're not supposed to have any images. So you could be thrown off, and you could say, okay, I just don't know what's going on. Unless you go back to our original insight and say, no. There is an image. But the image isn't what you think it is. The reason we invoke images is because the Mishkan is about making Hashem's presence enter into a concrete body. But that body isn't an idol. Again, that body is your body, is you. Where do you have evidence of that? So, the last one here on 8. Ulitzela mishkan ha-shenis lefasafon mitzrim karesh. We use this word, tzela. And tzela is a very unique word because it only appears twice in the Chumash. Once in the context of the Mishkan, and once, Chava. Vayiven Adonai Elohim es ha-tzela asher lakach min adam lishav yevieh el ha-adam. Hashem takes the tzela and he builds a human being. And in that moment, when Hashem builds a human being, what is Hashem doing? Well, he's not building a Mishkan. What's he building? He's building a Tzelem. A Tzelem Elohim. Right? He's building an image of God. That's what he says he's doing, right? This is not me. Right? Number 10. Vayomer Elohim. Naseh adam b'tzalmenu kidmusenu. V'yerduvid gaz hayom v'ofa shamayim v'vayimah v'chal aretz. V'chal aremez ramez al aretz. V'yivra Elohim ez adam b'tzalmo b'tzalem Elohim barau so zachar nekeveh barau sam. Right? We know this, right? We are Tzelem. Tavnis. All those bad words? Hashem violates all that. He creates a Tzelem of God. He creates a image of God, a tavnis of God. All those dirty words, he creates one, and it's called the human being. But that's what we're doing. It's not just that Hashem is coming down. What are we doing when we build the Mishkan? If we build the Mishkan in order so that Asuli Mikdash Veshachanti Vesocham, what are we really doing? We're making a tzelem. By making the Mishkan, we're imbuing Hashem into ourselves. Right? Ironically, that's what we're doing. Right? We're not building an idol, but we are imbuing Elokus into a tzelem. Meaning we're putting the Elokim back into the tzelem Elokim. That's what we're doing. We are creating an image. It's just ours, right? Like some of those words. It's libo, it's our hearts that are going into this. It's our hearts that we're imbuing with that spirit. And the Midrash picks up on this in 13. Vatsu aron atzei shitim. Maksiv limala. What does it say at the beginning? V'ichuli truma miyad v'atsu aron atzei shitim. Ma tara kadmala kol. Kach b'maisa mishkan hiktim es aron l'kol ha-kelim. Just like the Torah comes first, so the Aron comes first of the Kelim. Maha or kadam l'chol maseh breishis. Just like light came at the beginning of creation, d'chseh v'yomer elim yi'or, v'af b'mishkan b'torah shenikreis or, d'chseh kiner mitzvah b'torah or. When God created the world, when Hashem created the world, He created light first. So when you create the Mishkan, build a home for the light first, for the Torah. Kadum asel lechol hakelim. Davar acher vasu aron mitnei ma bechol hakelim elik siv asisa uve aron siv asu aron. Why does it say vasisa? Everyone here it says vasu. So Amar of Yehuda bar Shalom Amar leakadosh baruch hu yavoa akol v'yasku be'aron kidei sheyizku kulam l'Torah. They should all be involved in the Aron so that they will be zochet to get the Torah. Amar Reb Shimon ben Yochai, Shlosha Ksarim Heim Keser, Malchus Keser, Kuhuna Keser, Torah, Keser, Malchus Zeh Shulchan, Tichsiv, Bozer Zahav Saviv. The Shulchan is the crown of Malchus. Keser, Kuhuna Zeh Mizbech, Tichsiv, Bozer Zahav Saviv. Keser, Torah Zeh Aron, Tichsiv, Bozer Zahav. Lama Nichtavim Zer, V'nikraim Zer, Elomer Lecha. Im Adam Zoche, Nasim Lo Zer, V'im Lav Zer. What is it teaching you? That if you're Zoche, it's not about the Shulchan getting a Zer. You get a crown. U'b'nei ma b'chulang siv asisa lo v'arong siv asu. L'lamedcha shekeser Torah m'ula yosher mikulam. Zach Adam l'Torah ki ilu zach l'chulan. But what is the Midrash telling you? What's the point of building the Mishkan? Hashem built a tzelem Elokim when He made human beings. He made the tzela of Chava, right? Took Adam, made a new human being, made a new tzelem. If you build the Mishkan, you're also making a tzelem. Because you're becoming Hashem-like, right? Valach lebidrachav. He created, so you create. But you can't create Hashem. You can't quite reverse it. Hashem can create human beings. Human beings can't create Hashem. The only thing we can do is create ourselves. But we can't really create ourselves. So Hashem says, okay, create a Mishkan. And as you create the lathe, your lathe is infused with me. As you create the crown on the Shulchan, it's not about the crown on the Shulchan. The Midrash says, by creating the Zer on the Shulchan, you put the crown on your own head. We imitate Hashem in the Mishkan so that we imitate Him in creation. So that like He created the Tzelem Elohim, we can make ourselves worthy of being the Tzelem Elohim. So the Mishkan isn't about not having a Tzelem. It's about putting the Elohim back into the only thing which deserves to be the Tzelem. Meaning human beings. That's what Yechezkel says. Because you look at 11, and Yechezkel, in his Maaseh Merkava, what does he say? Umima l'rakia shel rosham kimarei even sapir demus kisei. I saw above the heavens, I saw the kisei hakavod. And what did I see on the kisei hakavod? Demus kimarei adam alav lemala. It looks like a human being. If you go to the highest heavens and you look at what does it look like? What does godliness look like? It looks like one thing. The only image it could possibly look like is the one thing that can reflect it in this world. That's us. That's human beings. And up there, whatever the Maaseh Merkava means, what it means, is, what the only image he can see is the Tzelem Elohim. But literally, what is the image he sees of God in the highest heavens? It's Dmus Adam. It's a person. That's what it looks like. In the Gemara, this is halacha. Right, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, right, we did in Daf Yomi just a few weeks ago, says, how do you know that you aren't allowed to make a three-dimensional image of a person? Lo tasun iti Eloi chesef Eloi zahav. The Gemara darshins, al tikri. Iti ela osi. Don't make me. And now that's a very radical claim, that making a human being is making me. But that's exactly what it wants you to think. That's what it's telling you. The closest you're going to get to Hashem in this world is a human being. That's the closest you can be. And that's what Yechezkel tells you. He sees up there in Shmei, right? Up in the highest heavens. That's what there is. There's an image of human beings. That's the only thing there could be. The only way we can perceive Hashem is by seeing the godliness in ourselves. That's the only way. We can't perceive Hashem directly. We can become over the Hashem, and then v'shachanti b'socham, then Hashem will be among us, and we'll sense godliness in ourselves. We'll live godliness. And if you, we'll skip down to 16. So the same Rav Tursky in that same article notes something even more incredible, and this is a bit trippy, but it's I think it's pshat. There are two Maaseh Merkava esque experiences, right, in Tanakh. One is Yechezkel, and one is Yeshayahu, and they both have literally visions of the Merkava. Yeshayahu's vision, when does it happen? It happens. It's the nevuah that Yeshayahu gets. The Beis Hamikdash is going to be destroyed. So Rav Tursky puts it this way. He says as follows. What's the point of the Mishkan? In a pagan temple, God fits in space. In Hashem's Beis HaMikdash, He doesn't fit in space. And the Mishkan doesn't fit in space. And Shemayim u'Shemayim Shemayim lo yechalkelu ka'av gebayis hazeh ki asher banisi. You can't be in space. Where can He be? As we said. In us. So we create a space for Hashem, which puts Him in us. Right? We emphasize that really no space can hold Him. What happens if we lose the Tzelem Elohim in ourselves because we start sinning? So then the Tzelem Elohim has left us. So then what's the value of the Beis HaMikdash? There isn't. Why? Because if the Tzelem Elohim has left us, then you're left with Mamad Avshach. If you're a pagan, so the idols in the temple. But if you believe that Hashem can't be in the Beis HaMikdash, He's in us, right? The Beis HaMikdash and the Mishkan are vehicles for Hashem to be in us. If we drive Hashem out of ourselves, then the Beis HaMikdash Mimela turns into either an empty space or an idolatrous space. Because either you say, okay, Hashem can't be in a space, He can only be in us, but He's not in us, so to speak. We've driven Him out of us, and therefore the Beis HaMikdash is just empty. Or you say, no, Hashem will always be in the Beis HaMikdash, even if we don't deserve it. But that's Avodah Zarah. Because then you're denying what Shlomo said, because you're saying, no, right? Habayis Hazeh can keep you.
When is the Beis HaMikdash destroyed? The Shechinah is there, so Hashem is there without a building.
Ah, but what does Yeshayahu see? So now let's go to Yeshayahu. Bishnas mos ha-melech uziyo va'ayres Hashem yoshev al kisei ram v'nisa v'chulam le'im es-heichal. I saw Hashem filling the heichal. But what does that actually mean? As we said, what does Hashem filling the heichal really mean? V'shachanti v'socham. That means that Hashem used to be in us, right? That's what it means. For Hashem to be in the Beis HaMikdash means that Hashem, through the Beis HaMikdash, finds His presence in our lives and in our hearts and in our souls and in our... Srafim umdim mimalo sheish knafayim shneish knafayim lechad v'shtayim mechaseh fanavu v'shtayim mechaseh raglav v'shtayim yofev. And I saw these fiery angels with six arms and six wings. V'karazel zev amar kadosh 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 Hashem tzvakot meloch ha'aretz kivado. And they called out to each other what we say in Kedusha. And we all think that that's a great thing, but it's very ominous here. Right, this is where we find out the Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. Why is Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh such an ominous statement? Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzvakos. God is holy. And how is He holy? Melo chala aretz kvodo. He can't be kept. He's transcendent. But if He's transcendent, I mean, He doesn't really live in the Beis HaMikdash. It's just whatever it means, right? His presence is concentrated in the Beis HaMikdash. It's the vehicle by which we connect to Hashem. But He's not really in the Beis HaMikdash because He is Meloch HaLaretz. He's transcending. He's everywhere. But if He's not really in the Beis HaMikdash because He's everywhere, then if you don't deserve the Beis HaMikdash, it's just an empty space. Vayanu amos ha-sipim mikol ha-karev ha-bayis melei ha-shan. And Pasuk Hei, V'omar, Oili ki did meisi ki ishvas v'tmei tzvasayim anochi v'tzocham t'mei tzvasayim anochi yoshev ki yasa melech Hashem tzvakos remoinai. He says, woe to me, because I'm impure, and I saw Hashem. And then what does he see? V'yaf elai echad min asrafim v'yodo ritzpah melkachayim lakach me'al mizbeach. So one of the Srafim flies over to me and takes a coal and put from the Mizbeach, v'yigal pi, v'yomri nei nagaze al svasecha v'sar v'necha v'chadazcha t'chupar. He puts it on my mouth and He forgives my sins. V'shma es kol Hashem omer, es mi eshlach u mi echlanu v'amar in nation lachani. And He says, okay, who am I going to send? V'amar lech, v'amar t'alam hazeh, shimu shamo v'al tavinu ra'o ra'o v'al teido. And He says, go to the people and tell them, listen, but you don't understand, see, and you won't know. Hashmein lev v'am hazeh, v'aznav hachbed, v'inav hashah penirev, v'inav v'aznav yishmal v'avo yavin, v'shav v'rafalo. Right? Their heart has gotten fat, and their ears are hard, etc. They don't see. If they did tshuva, it would be good. V'omar ad masai Hashem, v'yomar ad asher imsu, orim ein yoshev, v'atim ein adam, v'adama tishesh mama, v'yirchak Hashem es adam, ravazava mikarev aretz. And He goes on, and then, right, the continuation of the image is, what does He see? It leaves. It leaves. Right? Why? Well, why in the Ma'aser Merkava does it leave? Because that's the point. When you recognize that Hashem is transcendent, He can't be limited in space. He can't be in him. The only tzelem He can be in is tzelem Elokim, is in human beings. And the Beis HaMikdash is only the way that we relate to Him. It's the place where His Shechina is concentrated, but so that we can relate to Him. Bisocha, lo ne'emar, elo bisocham. But if you drive Hashem out of bisocham, He's neither Bisocham nor Bisocha. So the Malachim say, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. God is holy. You know what that means? Meloch ha'aretz kvodo. He's everywhere. He needs a space. No, He needs a space so that He'll be in you. But if you drive Him out of you, He's not going to stick around in this space. He sticks in this space insofar as it helps him stick around in your hearts. But if you drive him out of your hearts, then the Beis HaMikdash Memela becomes empty. And that's why it's going to be Nechor. That's why it's going to be destroyed, because it's meaningless at this point. So it comes out, the Mishkan, it's not about saying that God is not in Tzelem. No, He is in Tzelem. He's in Tzelem Elokim. He's in the human being. That's what the Mishkan's about. B'sochalon emar l'b'socham. And that's why you have all this weird imagery of body parts and things like that. Because it's not anti-Tzelem. It's not anti-Tavnis. It's not anti-seeing things. It's just reframing where it is. The Tavnis is you. And that's what the Midrash says. Hashem built the first Tzelem Elokim. And you imitate Him when you build a Mishkan. You can't create a God. Hashem can create a man. You can't create a God. But what you can do is put the godliness in you. That you can do. And you do that by imitating Hashem. When He created that first image for Hashem, you imitate Him by, if you build a Mishkan, you pour your heart into it, then Hashem will be found in your heart. And that's the point. And that's what Yechezkel says. If you look, Shmei HaShamayim, you know what you'll see? You'll either see no image, as Moshe says, but if you manage to see an image, it'll be your image. You'll see a human being. That's what a human being will perceive if he saw in the heavens. You can't perceive Hashem directly, but what you can perceive is a Dmus Adam. You can realize that Hashem's in you. And Yeshayahu says, yeah, and you know when the Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed? If you drive Hashem out of you, the Malachim will say, Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzvakot. Malach HaLaretz Kivoto. He doesn't need your space. He needs you. But if he's not in you, then he's not going to be in the Beis HaMikdash either. He'll be everywhere else. Malach HaLaretz Kivoto. He'll go back to his imminence. That's right, to his transcendence. He doesn't need to be imminent in a space. He's only imminent in a space to create a relationship with you, to have the Mishkan in your hearts. Bilvavi Mishkan Evne, right? In your hearts, there'll be a Mishkan. But if it's not there, he's not in the Beis HaMikdash. He's not in the Mishkan either. You don't have the option, because if you think that Hashem can be in the Beis HaMikdash without being in your hearts, then it's just a pagan temple. Then it's denying what Shlomo said, because you're saying no. Right? Shlomo says, Shmaim u'shmei shmaim lo yichal kaluchan. What are you saying? Nah! The Beis HaMikdash can contain God. No, He can't. Only your heart can. Only human beings can. He only descends into a space to connect with you, not into the space for the sake of the space. That's the key to the Mishkan. That's the key to Bilvavi Mishkan Evna. That it's really in our hearts. It's in us. We are the Tzelem Elokim. That's what makes Hashem coming to a space meaningful. But without that, and that's why all the Nevi'im Achronim, they make fun of the Jews. Because what do they say? The Jews say the Beis HaMikdash will never be destroyed. Why? Heichal Hashem! Heichal Hashem! It's God's home! It's God's home! Right? And the Nevi'im say this derisively. They make fun of them. Well, you think Heichal Hashem, you think Hashem needs a home? Nah, He'll destroy it. It's not about a home for Hashem. The only home for Hashem is in your hearts. Don't think you can get away with driving Him out of your hearts by saying He needs a home. He'll never destroy His home. If you destroy His home, then His physical home becomes meaningless. And that, I think, is the deeper message of the Mishkan. It really is about creating a Metzelem. It is, V'shachanti v'socholo ne'mar ela b'socham. It's about bringing the Elokim back into the Tzelem Elokim. But if you don't, if you think the Beis HaMikdash is meaningful, not as a conduit to Hashem, but inherently because God needs a home, you've turned Hashem into an idol. You've turned Hashem into a pagan God who needs a home. So the Malachim come and tell you, well, then you'll learn the hard way. God's transcendence will destroy His own house. Because God will say, I don't need your house. Malach al aretz kvado, I can be wherever I want. I am wherever I want. I'm everywhere. I only came to a home, whatever that means, as a way to get into your hearts. But don't rely on it, because if you empty my space, if you enter your hearts of godliness, the space memela will be emptied of me. And it'll just be destroyed, because it'll be worthless. It'll be an empty shell. And that, I think, is the deeper message of the Mishkan. And as we said, Vishachanti Visocham, that we should find the way of being inspired, of using it as a way of making sure that He's in our hearts, that we deserve to be the only things that can be at Tzelem Elohim, so that when Yechezkel looks and he sees the Demus Adam in Shamayim, we deserve to be the type of person whose image will be emblazoned on the Kisei HaKavod, because we will be the Merkava, we will be the beings that are God, that represent God in this world. Good Shabbos.